إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about the issue of attitude as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned and as far as our ubudiyat is concerned, the attitude of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And as I mentioned before, it is not an issue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needing this, na'udhu billah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anything including our ibadah and ubudiyat. But it is our own declaration of our own allegiance and our own ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I think I mentioned it somewhere in some other context, it is like renewing an agreement, it is like renewing a contract, it is like renewing your passport, call it what you want, which gives you and me the privileges that come with that membership. Now, Islam is not, not saying it's a membership, but I'm saying that this renewal of Allah subhanahu, of our allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of our ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of our allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what gives us the privilege, the biggest and best of which is, insha'Allah al-musta'an, jannatul firdaus bi ghayri hisab, when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to that, many other things in this dunya. And all of this comes from this attitude of submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question, not because it is blind obedience, but because we trust the one who has ordered us. When we say obedience without question, it does not mean blind obedience. It means that all the questioning which we needed to do, we have done before we entered Islam. Now that we have entered Islam, we accept because we have already done the questioning. The whole issue of samana wa atana is after somebody enters Islam. Before somebody enters Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La ikraha fi ddini qad tabayyana ar-rushd min al-ghayy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is no compulsion and pain on anybody to enter Islam. Qad tabayyana ar-rushd min al-ghayy, the difference between guidance and misguidance has been made clear. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالتَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who denies falsehood, the one who denies the taghut and chooses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, has grasped a handhold which will never break, inshaAllah al-musta'an. This is what we have done. So when a person has taken this step, and as we know, the asbab al-nuzul of this ayah came with the expulsion of the Banu Nadir from Medina, where when this was done, and we know all the history of that, so I won't go into that. But when this expulsion of Banu Nadir happened from Medina to Munawwara, there were a number of children, Arab children, of the people of Medina who were living with the Jews of Banu Nadir. And this was a custom with the Arabs that they would give some of their children to be raised by the people of Banu Nadir, because the Jews of Banu Nadir were, many of them were scholars, they were people who were respected. And there was also some issue of infant mortality among the Arabs, which was not there among the Jews. Allah knows the reason. So they used to give some of their children to the Jews to be raised by the Jews. And these children were raised in those families and so on. So they were raised in the ways of the Jewish people and according to their religion. Now when the Banu Nazir were expelled and they left Medina and they went to Khaybar, the people whose children were with the Jews, they came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, what must we do? Should we take our children back or should we allow them to go with them? Or what must happen, because they are not their children, they are our children. The expulsion order is for the Banu Nazir, it is not for these children. What must we do? Now that is when this ayat was revealed, and this is the ayat immediately after Ayatul Kursi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is no compulsion on anybody, there is no pain on anybody, you don't have to force anyone into Islam. There is no conversion by the sword or by the gun or by whatever. Free choice has been given. Those who wish to accept Islam, they are welcome to accept Islam. Those who wish not to accept Islam, they are welcome to remain wherever they are. But the ones who accept Islam have grasped a handhold which will never break. And so this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the benefit of ubudiyat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and see the beauty of the bayan of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it a handhold that will never break. Imagine, whose hand are you holding? We're talking about the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, in a manner that pleases His majesty and grace. We are not trying to here conceptualize or imagine what the hand of Allah is like. That is not our job. But the point we are making here is that this is the beauty of the bayan of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the one who accepts Islam somebody who has grasped a handhold with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will never break. So this is the issue of attitude. So when we submit, when we go into submission before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attitude of submission is something which gives us this great honor of being protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all evil. So this submission is what we are talking about as far as the attitude is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Suratul Alaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said fasjud waqtarib. Allah said, make sujood and come close. As I mentioned many times before, how do you move even when you are in sajda? And the answer to that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move you and me inshallah. When we are in sujood, in the sense of not only physical sujood, but in the sense of sujood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all aspects of our lives. The sajda of the body, the sajda of the mind, the sajda of the heart, the sajda of the spirit, in a way where completely our actions, our thoughts, our speech, our attitudes, our desires are all in submission to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And the meaning of being in submission to the ahkam of Allah is that they are on the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the connection between the kitab wal sunnah. This is the connection between the orders of Allah and the way of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is that the hukum is of Allah. The way of fulfilling that hukum is of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the order, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam obeyed the order and showed us how to obey the order, which is what is the meaning of the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, aqimus salah, establish salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us how this is done. What is the way of establishing salah? And he said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you have seen me pray. So this is the connection between the Quran and the Sunnah, and it's a connection that cannot be broken. It's a connection which anyone who denies it is expressing or showing his own lack of understanding of the deen. The connection between the Kitab wal Sunnah is a connection established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and nobody can deny that. So this is the issue of the attitude of submission. Now when we do submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ila nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah is the wali of the people who believe, and He removes them and He takes them from darkness into light. Now imagine, I mean, each of these ayat, one can sit and talk about this all day, but I'm saying here, of course, we're trying to shorten everything thanks to the further reminder. But the point I'm making is, first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have simply said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extract the believers from darkness into light. Right? But Allah did not simply say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first said, I am the wali. Huh? Imagine. Can you imagine? I am the wali. Allahu waliul ladhina amanu. Allah is the wali. Allah is the closest confidant, the protector. As I said many times before, translating wali with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as friend is incorrect, because friendship presumes an equality of status between the two friends. There is no equality of status between the Khaliq and the Makhluk. So there is no question of anybody being a friend of Allah. Friendship or wilaya or being a wali, when it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the word wilayat or wali is not restricted in this meaning. In the Arabic language, it means friend. So one can be a wali of another person, which is fine, absolutely. But when you're talking about wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wilayat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wali of Allah, you're not talking about friendship as we understand friendship in our human context. We are talking about a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, a person who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who is for whom and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his confidant, is his protector. In a way that is in keeping with the glory and grace and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this term. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke this and he said this, that Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Just think about this. If you are a Muslim, and alhamdulillah we are Muslims, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am your wali. Yeah, just think about that. If Allah is your and my wali, how can you or I come to any harm or any evil in this dunya or akhirah? Inshallah al-Mustan, we live our lives and we should try to live our lives in as pious and obedient a way of as possible, but also live with this great hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no need to leave this hope or to believe that, oh my God, all my deeds are worthless and useless and I will go to Jahannam. This kind of thinking is against the principles of Islam. Please, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. Allah is all forgiving. Allah said that I am not making these statements on behalf of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. So therefore, we should have hope in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah said, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the wali of those who believe. Allah did not say, Allah is the wali of those who believe and who are at the highest level of piety. Allah did not say that. Allah could have said this, that Allah is the wali of those among the believers who are at this X level of piety. Allah did not say that. Allah is the wali of all the believers. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who are the awliya of Allah? Those who believe and those who have taqwa. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put a mi'ar, he did not put a level or measure on the amount of or the strength of belief or the sincerity of belief or the level of taqwa. Allah did not put this. I am obviously not propagating insincere belief, or I'm not propagating that belief. I'm just saying that on the side of hope, we must have hope in the mercy of Allah and in the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the side of fearing the anger of Allah, we should also have that, where we do not deliberately do anything wrong. Mistakes are forgivable, mistakes are pardonable, crimes attract punishment. A mistake does not attract punishment, a mistake attracts forgiveness. But a crime attracts punishment. The action is the same, the difference is the intention. That is the reason why I am talking about attitude. The difference is intention. If you are walking and accidentally, if your foot touches your father, this is a mistake. At the most, you apologize. Your father says, no problem, go away. You did not realize the foot touched the father. Same foot, if it touches the father deliberately because you go and kick the father, there is a difference of the heavens and the earth between these two actions. Although the action, if you were taking a video of the action, there is no difference in the action. In both the actions, your foot touched your father, which if it is done deliberately is called a kick. And if it is not done deliberately, it is called an accident. That is the only difference between a mistake and a crime. A mistake and a crime in terms of the action is the same thing. But in a mistake, it happens accidentally without your knowledge. You are regretful about that. You are liable to be forgiven, inshallah. But in a crime, you do it deliberately, knowing it is wrong. And therefore, you attract the punishment that comes with the crime. I don't say you will be punished. This is minallahi ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. But the point is that somebody who deliberately does something wrong. You know gambling is wrong, but you do gambling. You know drinking alcohol is wrong, but you drink alcohol. You know leaving the fard salah is haram, but you leave the fard salah. You know not praying in the masjid is not permissible, but you do not pray in the masjid. You know that spending israf and showing off and so on is not permissible, you do that. You know that music and singing and dancing and all this is not permissible, you do that. You know wearing certain kinds of clothes is not permissible, you do that. Now deliberately, you know dealing in interest, for example, you know it is haram, but you still do. So the point is that if you know something is wrong, you still do it, then you and I must examine our iman and say, do I really have iman? Issue is not just of saying level. Issue is, do you really even have iman? Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu, very clearly Allah is the wali of the people who have iman. Yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ila nur, takes them out from darkness into light. Walladhina kafaru awliyahumut taghut yukhrijunahum minan nur ila zulumat ulaika ashabun narihum fiha khalidun. Allah said, but those who have made the taghut, those who have made falsehood and false idols. Remember, the idols are not just made of stone, idols are also in the heart. And the idols in the heart are bigger than the ones that are made of stone. So Allah is saying that those who have made friends with those idols, they take them from darkness into light. They take them from light into darkness, the opposite. So now when we look at our actions, we must ask ourselves this question. My actions, do they look like they are going from darkness into light or from light into darkness? That will tell me who is my wali. Is Allah my wali? Or is my nafs my wali? Is the shaitan my wali? Is something else my wali? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this very clear and said, if Allah is your wali, then Jannah is the place you will go to. If the others are your wali, then hum fiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are minan nari, hum fiha khalidun, they will be in the fire and they will be there forever. Very clear criterion, very clear parameters for us to decide who is our wali. This is what we have to check, and this is what we must ask ourselves this question, to say, where do I fit? Am I fitting in the group of people coming out of darkness into light, or am I fitting in the group of people who were in light but who are going into darkness? If you are a Muslim, I am a Muslim, and if we deliberately do something haram, knowing it is haram, then you decide for yourself, where do you think you are and where do you think you fit? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the doors of tawbah open till the day we die. So let us immediately make tawbah. If we find that we are in the wrong place, let us make tawbah and get into the right place. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the rule very clear, and this is the rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will apply. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and grace, and we ask Him for His mercy. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمُ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ